and down on my, we're getting low-end feedback.
Check, check, check. Check, check. Good stuff.
How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Good, good. I do need glasses. So, it's our first message in 2019, first Sunday. And as we get started on this new year, I really just want to declare today that God's plan for you in 2019, His plan for your life is to prosper you and not to harm you. And if you trust in Him, no matter what comes your way this year, no matter what comes your way, whether blessing or trouble, calm or storm, joy or sorrow, if you trust God, no matter what comes, He will use everything to build a better you this year, to strengthen you, to equip you, to lift you up to another level of authority and effectiveness. It's God's plan for you, and it's good. And if we as a church trust in Him together, though we will face some challenges and we will experience some victories, if we will trust Him in 2019, God is going to advance us to another level of effectiveness and fruitfulness for His kingdom, because His kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom. Amen. God never retreats. Never. And so we can trust that this year, His kingdom purpose for Bathurst is going to advance. It's not going to shrink. It's not going to retreat. It's not going to fall back. It's going to advance. And I want to be a part of that. And I am excited about what this year holds. And I'm ready to say, let's go. Let's go. But where is a good question? Let's go. Where are we going? Right? Here's a quote from the Cheshire Cat. Oh, I didn't plug the USB, the white USB cord into my computer. And I got no power. Can you find it? Any USB port will do. There we go. Okay, knowing where we're going. We're starting a series on just forward together, or forward on purpose. And the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland said, if you don't know where you are going, any road can get you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road can get you there. If you don't know what your destination is, if you don't really know where you're headed, it doesn't matter which direction you go, and it doesn't matter how fast you go. It doesn't matter what you do, right? But I believe that it's important to know where we're going, to do what we do on purpose. The way we often, and I'm not talking about evangel, I'm talking about just churches everywhere, okay? The way we often do church is to just kind of go from one season to another season, one event to another event. Just kind of, it's like we can take the year and just put it on repeat and just kind of keep doing it because that's what we've always done, right? And, but we seldom stop to ask, What are we hoping to accomplish? And are we accomplishing it? Those are important questions to ask. We just keep doing stuff. But the question is, what do we want out of all the stuff that we're doing and all the things, activity and things we do? What do we actually want to see happen? And is it happening? Are we getting somewhere? Are we getting traction? Or are we just kind of spinning our wheels in the same place, right? Sometimes we'd rather remain blissfully unaware of our of goals or plans or you know where we're going, because it's just then we don't have to get evaluated, we don't have to ask the hard questions, or are we actually doing anything? We just rather be unaware, right? But try and go on a journey. Try this someday. Try and go on a journey to some place you've never been, and you don't know where it is, and you're not allowed to take a map, a compass, or a GPS, not even Google Maps, nothing. And try to get there. Don't get lost. Well, in fact, the very definition of what would happen is that you would be lost. I mean, you couldn't possibly know where you were at any given moment if you're not familiar with the territory. If I plunked you down in the middle of New Mexico, told you to go somewhere, but you had no way of knowing where you were or how to get from where you are to, you would be lost, right? You would be lost. Even those with a good sense of direction would be lost. And sometimes that's how we function in the church. How many churches are lost? I mean, they love Jesus, they're going to heaven, but in the sense of knowing where they are or where they're headed, they're lost, right? In the literal sense of the word, not the spiritual sense. Follow me? In biblical language, what we're saying today, in biblical language, where there is no vision, the people perish. Right? Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where we don't have a plan or know where we're going or why we need to go anywhere, then we're just gonna shrivel up. Right? But I believe we want to go somewhere in 2019. As a church, we want to go somewhere, right? Not just around in circles, not wandering in a frustrating place where nobody's sure when we left or where we are or if we're going to get somewhere, but we want to actually go somewhere in 2019. God is an intentional God. Our God is an intentional God. He does everything that he does, everything God does, he does for a reason. Right? Everything God is up to in the universe, in our lives, everything that he is up to, he does with a purpose. Never by accident. God's never caught off guard. Now let me clarify that, because one of my favorite pet peeves is when people say everything happens for a reason. It bugs me. Why does it bug me? Because it implies that everything that happens in my life was God's idea. And it's not necessarily God's idea. If a child gets abused, is that God's idea? Right? If somebody gets murdered or mugged on the street, is that God's plan and purpose? Is that God's idea? No. When there are countries, nations in this world that are destitute in poverty because there's a small group of people leading the country that hoards all the resources and oppresses the people, is that God's plan and purpose? No. So to say everything happens for a purpose is baloney. It's baloney. Okay? Here's a better thing to say. God can take all things and make them work together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's biblical. God can redeem everything, but God is not the cause of everything. You with me? Okay? So having clarified that, when I say everything God does, he does for a purpose, I'm not saying that everything bad that happened to you, God did it to you because he had wanted to do something in your life. God does not do evil things to people. Okay? But everything that God does, he does for a purpose and not by accident. He is an intentional God, even when as he redeems those bad things that happen to us, he does it with purpose. He does it with intention. He has a plan for your life that no trouble, no tragedy, no difficulty can short-circuit God's plan and purpose for your life. He is intentional about what he is doing in our lives. And I believe that just as God is intentional, he wants us to live with intentionality. He wants us to live our lives on purpose. How do I know that? Well, Jeremiah 29:13 is one example. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Okay? You can't search for God with all your heart by accident. It takes intentionality. It takes planning. It takes purpose. It takes a focused dedication of the resources of your life to go searching after God and to seek after him. It is, God is calling us when he gives us this command and challenge. He is calling us to intentionality in our relationship with him. Does that make sense? Yeah. Here's another. Any place worth going, any goal worth achieving, any prize worth having comes with great intentionality. Amazing things don't happen in your life generally by accident. They happen because you have pressed into God's best for you. Okay? This is the very reason why we have such a thing called a New Year's resolution. Because that 20 pounds doesn't fall off by accident. Just doesn't. Sorry. You don't learn how to play an instrument by accident. The good things you want to happen in 2019 aren't just going to fall in your lap. But we need to live intentionally. If there are some things we want to happen, like I want, you know, like I want to have a closer relationship with Jesus in 2019, well, then we actually need to set some specific goals that are going to get us there. Not just make a a blanket wishful thinking statement at the beginning of the year and then leave it to Jesus to make your relationship with him closer. That doesn't work. How many have tried that before and it doesn't work? Right? So we need to actually set some goals to take us in the direction we want to go. If we want to lose those 20 pounds or whatever it is, we have to actually make a plan. In 2 Peter chapter 1, another passage gives us a great example of how God calls us to intentionality. Start in verse 5. For this very reason, we don't have time to get into the very reason, but it's a good one. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So Peter is calling us for some really good reasons that we need to make every effort. We need to plan. We need to do some things. We need to put some things in place. We need to get rid of some things. We talked about that last week. Remember the bucket up here and the things that you dropped and said, I want to leave this behind in 2018, and I want some new things in 2019. So we're taking that a step further. We're saying if you want to add goodness to your faith, if you want to add the character quality of goodness that Peter's telling us to add to your faith, it's going to take every effort. It's going to take every effort. It's going to take some work, some planning, some intentionality, and a whole lot of grace of Jesus. Amen? But it's going to make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. This is a whole other message we don't have time to get into today, but how do you add goodness and knowledge and self-control? And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection. In other words, loving our brothers and sisters. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the goal? Peter's saying the goal, the destination, is we want to be effective and productive in our relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We map out a course to add some things into our faith. And it's going to take intentionality. Right? So that's not our message today. That's just an example. But the reality is God is calling us to be intentional people. We have to be. If we're going to actually make advancement in being effective and productive for his kingdom. You with me? Okay? Good, good. So, one more clarification. Living intentionally and being spirit-led are not contradictory. So you might say, well, if I make too many plans and if I, you know, get, you know, all this stuff figured out, you know, where I want to go and how I'm going to get there, then that's not really being spirit-led. That's kind of figuring it all out myself. It's kind of like we used to in our Pentecostal churches, we used to intentionally not plan what songs we're going to sing on Sunday and call that spirit-led. We'll just wing it. We'll just fly with it. Just see what happens and call that spirit-led. But But I think we found that that ended up in sometimes some train wrecks. Right? Because the more that we plan, the more that we're not having to focus on, oh, what am I going to do next? The more we're relaxed enough to listen to the voice of the Spirit and just be led by Him, sometimes in our plan and sometimes contrary to our plan. But planning doesn't take away being able to be led by the Holy Spirit. Intentionality is not contrary to being led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. I believe those two things go hand in hand. Yeah, we'll leave that there. Okay. And figuring out where we're going and why we're going and what we're doing this year is important, because mission is the very reason that we exist. The only reason for the church is to do the will and the purpose of God on the earth. And if we're not doing the mission of God on the earth, right? Jesus left and he said, he gave us something that we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission, right? The great mission that we do with him, the Great Commission. And he said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. He gave us a mission. He gave us a commission. And that is the reason for the church. The church does not exist to exist. We don't exist to exist. We're not here just because it's really nice that there's a building at 150 Basin and there's some people that gather in it every week. Isn't that sweet? They have meetings. They get together and they sing some songs. It's really precious. Like, and eat soup. Yeah. And eat soup. Now, it's vital that we gather here in this building, because it's vital that we get encouraged and strengthened and reconnected to the Father for the sake of His mission. I'm not mocking what we do here. It is vital what we do here. But I'm saying that sometimes we lose sight of why we do what we do here. It is for the sake of the mission. We exist to do the mission of God in the world. And sometimes churches can forget that and they get wrapped up in their own existence. And they get inwardly focused and they get kind of staring at each other in a circle saying, oh, this is nice. I saw you last week. And forget that we're supposed to turn around and see the people on the outside of the circle and bring them into the circle. Right? And so we exist for the sake of the mission. We don't exist to exist. Why should always be the question. Why are we doing this? Why do we do things this way? Why aren't we doing that? Why is a very, very important question for a church to stay on track? Does that make, right? It's a really important why. Sometimes we can go years and forget to ask the question, why? Why do we do this? And the answer to why should never be because we've always. That's a terrible reason to keep doing things. Right? You probably heard the story of the young lady who's, you know, her and her husband had just gotten married, and she's figuring out how to, you know, she's going to cook her first roast. And she gets, you know, gets a big, beautiful roast from the supermarket, and she remembers as she's, you know, making the roast, her mother always cut the ends off the roast before she put it in the pot. And so she, you know, she starts cutting the ends off the roast. And her husband says, why are you doing that? Why are you cutting the ends off the roast? And she's like, well, my mom always did it. I don't know why. Well, I'm going to call her and find out why she always did it. So she calls up her mom, and her mom says, I don't know why. My mom always just cut the ends off the roast. I'm not sure. It must make it taste better, or it must, I don't know why. So she calls up her mother and says, Mom, you know, my daughter's asking this question. I'm asking this question. Like, why do we cut the ends off the roast? And their mom just starts laughing. She says, I just cut it off because it was too big for the pot. But sometimes we keep things going generation after generation, and we're not sure why we do it. And so it's important to ask the questions, why? Because we exist not just to keep meetings going and not just to exist, but we exist there. It was sung, it was said, Bathurst is dying to know our God. And we dare not get caught up in our own existence and forget the mission that Jesus has given us to reach our city for Him. So, on the back, this we're going to spend 4 weeks on this series. And each of these 4 weeks, on the back of your note pages, are going to be the what's there today, to put it in our faces to remind us. We're not necessarily going through it line by line or anything, but last spring we went through a process as a church, talking about our mission. Why do we exist? Why are we here? That's our mission, answers that question. Why are we here? And then we developed some core values, some things that we are saying, these are very important to us. These things are super important to us. And so we're gonna take a look at our mission statement. Why do we exist? We exist to exalt, so there's four E words, to exalt God in everything, to engage people with the good news of Jesus, the gospel, to equip people as followers of Christ, and to empower everyone for ministry. Okay? I think that's a pretty good mission statement. I think that is going to take us somewhere. If we actually do this, sometimes mission statements aren't that great because we form them and then we stuff them in a drawer and say, oh, we got that. Tick that one off. We got a mission statement and we never look at it again. But a mission statement, if we're going to really use it well, should actually drive our mission. Should actually help us make decisions. Are we going to do this or are we going to do this? Well, let's look at our mission statement. Why do we exist? Why are we here? Right? We exist to exalt God in everything, to engage people with the good news of Jesus, to equip people as followers of Christ, and to empower everyone for ministry. We'll come back to that in just a few moments. as we go on a journey, any of us, as you go on a journey, you face choices regularly, because every time you come to an intersection, you have a choice to go about three different directions, right? And as you go on a journey, there are choices, and you might drive by a Krispy Kreme. Anybody had Krispy Kreme? Those melt-in-your-mouth donuts? Oh, they melt. You might drive down the road and say, you know, we're heading here, and then you remember just down this street, there's a Krispy Kreme. Oh, that was melt-in-your-mouth donuts. And so instead of going where you're supposed to go, you turn right and you go to Krispy Kreme and you're late for your meeting because you made a choice. Krispy Kreme was more important than the being on time for your meeting, right? Every time we go on a journey, we have choices to make. And so as a church, we are always making choices based on things that we value. And we may have a list of things that we say, these are our core values. But the question is, do your core values match up with your real values? That's a really good question. And that, we find that out by the choices that we make, by the way that we spend our money, by the way that we prioritize our time and the things that we do. So, as I was preparing this, I came across in Mark chapter 1. It was one of the first things I read this year as I started my new scripture reading plan for the year. And I was reading through Mark chapter 1, and I came across verse 33. Just jumped off the page at me. So Jesus it's the Sabbath. Jesus comes home from synagogue, and when he gets to Simon's house, Simon's mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever, verse 30. And they immediately told Jesus about her. Verse 31, so he went up and he took her hand and he helped her up. And the fever left her and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset. Why after sunset? Because it was Sabbath and people didn't travel on the Sabbath. That evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Verse 33, the whole town gathered at the door. The whole town gathered at the door. Everybody in town was interested in what God was doing. Everybody in town showed up because they were interested and curious about what God was doing. How many people in Bathurst are interested in what God is doing at Evangel? How many are curious? How many are stirred up? They got to find out what's going on. Not just showing up on Sunday, but coming to talk to you at your workplace. And how many are really interested in what God is doing? The whole town showed up at the door. But you know what? There were some choices that Jesus made all through the first chapter of Mark that I think show us that it was not by accident that all of a sudden people were interested in what God was doing. But there were some choices Jesus made that enabled him to function in a level of authority and influence that caused people in town to be curious about what God was doing. We're going to run through those really fast because we're out of time. verse 11. Jesus is being baptized. And as he's being baptized, a voice comes from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus begins his ministry knowing who he is as the Son of the Father. He chose to dwell in the reality of who the Father said he was. Secondly, goes on to say that at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. Was with the wild animals and angels attended him. Jesus made the choice to stand up under temptation. Thirdly, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Jesus goes to do the same thing that put John in prison. Ha! Jesus had a mission, and he knew it was a dangerous one, but he chose to step into it because he wanted to do the will and the purpose of the Father. He stepped into a dangerous mission. He didn't let himself get comfortable, but he moved forward in the mission of God. Verse 17. As he does this, verse 16, Jesus walks beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus did what he did in the company of brothers and sisters. He did what he did in the company of others. He did what he did as a team, and that mattered. Next, verse 27, Jesus ministered with authority. The people were all so amazed. Verse 25, Jesus casts a demon out of a guy in church. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. So Jesus ministered with authority. Jesus was intentional about prayer. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus made the choice to get himself out of bed and to carve out time to be with his heavenly Father in prayer. We will not go anywhere this year if we don't prioritize prayer. Jesus made the choice to prioritize prayer. And then after he's praying, says verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." I love that. Jesus, everybody's looking for you. Where have you been? They need you. They got stuff for you to do. Let's go somewhere else. Because Jesus was never driven by other people's agendas. He was only driven by the Father's plan and purpose for him. So where are we going? We're way out of time now, and so we're just going to cruise through this super fast. And worship team, come on up. As we're doing this. Okay? So, going back through our four E words really quickly. Where are we going? Exalt. This year, it is a priority for us to foster an atmosphere of God's glory and presence in this place. Not saying it hasn't been here, not saying it's not here. But we want to prioritize making room for God's glory to come. Because without him, we're just putting in time. Engage. We are going into our city, not hiding from it this year. We are going to find ways to serve and love. We are going to plan ways, and God's going to surprise us with ways. Remember, planning and led by the Spirit are not contradictory. We're going to plan some ways, and God's going to surprise us with some open doors. But we are going to move into our city with intentionality this year. That means that when there are times to, when we have choices to choose being comfortable or being stretched out of our comfort zone and doing things we haven't done before for the sake of the mission, we're going to choose to be stretched. And particularly to the missing generations. How many know there's some generations missing from this room right now? We intentionally hired someone to come in and assist us in this way. It wasn't just because some church down the street has a youth pastor, so we need to have one too. It's not, hey, we got some extra money laying around, why don't we hire some staff? Trust me. But it was, God is calling us to move into the next generation and to make a difference. And so we're going to be intentional about this. We're going to move into this. Equip. I believe connect groups. If you read the EB update this week, Evangel Bathurst update by email, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, you might not. And if you don't get our EB updates and you want to, call the office and let us know, because we obviously don't have your email address in our list. I believe that connect groups are going to be home groups that we're going to be developing this year. We're going to talk more about that in a couple weeks. So we're going to focus right in on it in 2 weeks as we talk about it. But connect groups is where we can grow together. We can be equipped and discipled to grow together. And lastly, empower. Empower everyone. 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 If you love Jesus and you're breathing, you have a calling on your life. And we want to help you get involved where you fit. It's one of the reasons we pass that thing around. Every one of us is called to be involved in the work of the mission. It's not for the pastor to do. In fact, that's not even my biblical job description is not to do the work of the ministry. It's to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So we want to help you find where you fit. So where are we going? There's a bit of a picture for us. We accomplished this stuff this year. We're going to be a different church a year from now. Amen? Let's stand. However, the church, I can't hear you. Yes, okay. The church getting intentional isn't somebody in an office getting intentional. It's all of us getting intentional. Right? We are the church. The church isn't an organization, it's us. I mean, it's kind of an organization, but it's also us. Right? We are the church. We need to get intentional. We need to go after everything God has for us in this year. And as we do that, collectively, we're going to go somewhere. Amen? So it's late. I'm going to pray a blessing. Just to remind you, this is really important. This coming Saturday, we get to host the 11th annual Concert of Prayer for our city. All the churches in our city are invited to come together in unity and pray, and we get to host it. Yeah. So please come and be a part of that. Would love to have Evangel have a strong showing on Saturday, 6:30. So we come together and pray, because it's not only us at the mission, on the mission, it's all of the churches of the city. Amen. So I want to pray a blessing. If you want to stick around, just respond to the Lord in your own heart. I welcome you to do that. If you need to go, God bless you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your intentional heart. We thank you that you have a plan and purpose, not only for every individual in this room for this year, but you have a plan and purpose for Evangel. As we move out into our city, as we move out with intentionality, as we move out to do the work you've called us to do, I pray, God, that you would remove every obstacle, that you would open every door that needs to be opened. God, you would slam shut every door that we should not walk through. That you would lead us by the power of your Spirit. That you would make us strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.